Hi, this is Darren Power from the Betting School website, and on the line with me today I have Michael Wilding from the Race Advisor site.
Hi there, everyone. Nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for agreeing to do this interview today. Your rating spreadsheet has made a big impression. I see we've got a lot of comments. There's been a lot of emails. It's over 200 comments on the website.
Yeah.
We've got limited time here. So what I've done is I've gone through the questions and whittled them down to six or seven that we really want to answer. And if we get some time at the end, we'll add some more in.
Okay, sounds good.
Before we get into the questions, there's been various problems, with technology and different software and different systems. Things don't always go as well as we might hope. So I'm going to just run through a few of those problems for people that are still having difficulty.
Okay.
First thing is, we seem to have saved the spreadsheet with column A not showing. Well, I seem to have saved the spreadsheet with column A not showing. The easy way to fix that is just to click in column B and press your left arrow, and then A will display. It is there. It's just off the left of the screen. Secondly, there's a lot of problems with Internet Explorer. Neither Michael or myself use Internet Explorer. We use Google Chrome, which is a faster, slicker browser, which you can get for free. If you just go to Google and search for Google Chrome, you'll be able to download that for free, and that will resolve the problems with pasting in data where lots of extra information turns up. Third thing we've had a lot of is the cells that make the calculations are protected. Now, this is done so you don't accidentally rub out the calculations and then the spreadsheet doesn't work any longer. Excuse me a minute. When you clear the spreadsheet, if you select columns A to J and just clear the cells in those columns, then you won't get the problem with the message that says these cells are protected. Fourth up, the spreadsheet does work in OpenOffice. I don't use OpenOffice, but we've had reports back from people that are using it successfully. So if you don't have Excel, which costs money, OpenOffice is free. In some versions of Excel, the colored indicators don't show. It will still do the rankings for you, and obviously number one is the top rated and so on and so forth, but that's just a version issue with Excel, so no need to worry about it. And if there's anything else that you've got a problem with that's causing it not to work, then just email us support@puntology.com and somebody will get back to you and resolve the issues for you. Okay, so that's out of the way. Let's crack on with this interview. So, Michael, I've known you for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Met you in a pub in London, I seem to remember.
Oh, we did indeed.
Accidentally, pre-arranged, I have to say. We were wandering in the pub and he was there. I think a lot of people will have heard of you through your Race Advisor website, but not everybody. So maybe a little bit of background on yourself to help people get to know you.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I got into horse racing, to be honest, kind of by accident when I was 18, about 18. I've always been involved and around with horses. I started riding when I was quite young as a child, and but never really got into the sport. I wasn't involved in the racing sport, as it were, just horses as a general thing. I got into it because I dropped out of art school and wasn't really sure what I was going to do. So I just decided to start placing a few bets just to kind of pass the time, really. And of course, as you can imagine, I lost them. And not being a natural gambler, I kind of quickly found that placing losing bets wasn't really much fun. So I kind of left horse racing alone and moved over to poker. But because poker, you need to know how to play the game, I kind of had to go away and learn how to play it, which I never did with horse racing. I never learned about horse racing. I just kind of jumped in. And it turned out that I actually was kind of very good. I had a natural inclination for maths, and I found poker quite an easy game to play and win at. And for a little while, I was quite successful at playing it. However, I I don't really have the patience to sit and play for kind of 8 hours a day, which you need to do to make a good income from poker, which is strange because I can sit for 8 hours a day and do research and build ratings and reform, but for some reason I just can't bet for 8 hours a day. I kind of get bored, which is also why I don't often trade on Betfair, because it's the same thing. I'm sitting there betting for 8 hours or whatever, and I get bored, and so I start to lose. Anyway, moving on, I decided to stop playing poker and went back to horse racing. But this time I thought, well, rather than just jumping in, I'm going to learn about it. So I kind of went off and I read everything I could find about it, and learned how to reform, how to handicap, how to create speed figures. And anyway, it turned out that this time I was pretty successful at it, and I made some very good money, and I then spent it. and then kind of my life moved on a bit, and I kept involved with horse racing. I kept placing bets and kept learning, but I went off to drama school and I became an actor, and it was kind of while I was graduated, and I did all right as an actor, but in between the acting jobs, while we were waiting for another job to come along, I kind of went back to the betting. And to be honest, it was then that it really took off for me, because I went back to all the analysis that I did before and started doing it again, but much more focused, and with much more of a purpose. And I started analysing all my bets after the event, after the race as well, and seeing where I was going wrong, what I wasn't doing right. And to be honest, this was more to occupy myself, but I enjoy the puzzle of trying to figure out how to get better at it. And then I kind of turned around and realized that if I'd also been betting on everything that I'd been working on, I would have been making a lot of money. So essentially I started to bet on it as well. And then through some good luck, yeah, I was then betting, you know, regularly, making a good living off it. And through some good luck, I met a programmer who worked for some of the big teams in the US. And that was the next big change for me, because I realized that there were teams out there who were creating their bets essentially by push button. I mean, a lot of work had gone into it up to that point, but at the end of the day, when the race was there, you know, it was all done for them. And so I got into building ratings, and I went through all the academic papers that these teams and other academics had written about the sport from all over the world, and kind of looked at the formulas and the algorithms and adjusted them and kind of played with them and saw what worked in the UK and what didn't work, and grew from simple ratings in complexity as my knowledge of it grew. So now I'm at the point where I kind of use very, very complex ratings that measure all aspects of a horse's performance. But of course, you know, there is still plenty of room for development, and one continues to always learn and, you know, find out new things and try new angles. So that's kind of how I got involved, really.
I think, like all of us, we all try lots of things till we find the right thing. Have you ever been Have you ever been in anything that we will have seen you from, acting-wise? I've never asked you that before.
Oh, gosh. Well, probably not. It was a long time ago now. I was in quite a few commercials in my time that you probably would have seen, like Vodafone commercials and things like that. Yeah. But the TV series and stuff like that was only small parts. Yeah. So.
That's how it goes, I guess, for the majority, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So this this programmer guy, did you meet him in the UK?
Actually, it's no, I didn't. I met him in the US. I was traveling around the US. I used to do a lot of traveling. Yeah, I was traveling around the US, and it was a complete fluke, to be honest. I was chatting in a forum, and the guy was like, you know, he was responding to questions. I was involved in a thread. And I was like, yeah, I'm out here. And he was like, oh, hey, basically, so am I. Do you want to get a beer?
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, it was literally really chance, pure chance. So,
well, we all need a bit of luck.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's move on. So as you'd expect, there's a lot of questions about that rating spreadsheet.
Indeed.
That was in the video. I know you obviously use more advanced methods than that, including those that feature in the Puntology course. But if you could answer the following questions just on this basic method that we've demonstrated so far, I'm sure a lot of readers would appreciate that.
Yeah.
So in the video, you demonstrated the ratings tool on a flat race. So the first question a lot of people have is it suitable for national hunt racing with the season now coming? And what are the optimum conditions for the ratings to be most effective?
The optimum conditions, well, you can use this tool for any type of race, to be honest, because we're using three ratings in it. We're using the RPR, the TS, and the OR. And now the RPR is a handicap rating that takes into account the race level, the quality of the field, and the weight that the horse is carrying. They also actually take into account race times as well, but in a very different way to speed figures. The TS is a speed rating, and the OR is, of course, the official handicapper's rating. So what we're doing is, by combining all of them, we're getting an overall picture of how the horse is expected to perform by these three very different handicappers or methods of handicapping a race. So you can use this in any race, but ideally you want to be looking for a race where the majority of the runners have all of the ratings.
Okay, so the race you rated was a handicap. Does it work better on handicaps?
To be honest, my answer is going to be similar to the last question. I mean, it's not necessarily going to work any better or worse on handicaps, but you may well find more races where the horses have ratings that are handicaps.
Yeah, yeah, okay. The example race, the winner you selected was two clear of the second. 2 points clear on the scale that was
yeah.
used. Does it perform better when the top rated is much higher than the others, or can we expect to see like standout bets where they're much higher rated?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's going to perform better, but of course, the bigger the difference between the rating, then obviously the better we can expect the runner to perform than the next best in the field. So, if there is a significant difference between the top rated and the next, then yeah, we can expect that to be a you know, a standout horse. But you've got to always remember that a rating is an estimate. Any rating is an estimate. It's not an exact figure. It may be a little bit too low, the rating, or it may be a little bit too high. So I mean, one way that you can look at this is you can look at the ratings and say, well, if I add 10% to the rating and take away 10% of the rating, the real rating is likely to fit somewhere between those two figures, because that's allowing for the error in any mathematical calculations.
So you're talking about a tolerance up?
Yeah,
plus
exactly.
Plus or minus 10% on the rating.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And, I mean, that's a very quick way of doing it. You can obviously make it much more accurate if you want to get very involved in the mathematics behind it. But it's a very good figure that works well. It's kind of, you know, having a 10% either side bracket. And when you look at the race like that as well, you'll start to see very different shapes for the runners in the race too.
Okay. That sounds like a little more advanced.
we go into that in
sure.
more detail later on in the course. So.
Right. Okay. A lot of people want to know if you have any statistics on the strike rate for the method.
I mean, the method is designed to find the possible contenders in a race rather than a single selection. So, I mean, ideally people are going to be using this alongside their own knowledge of horse racing already, or maybe their own form reading that they're already doing. And of course, choosing how to structure your bets is very much based on your own personality. So, if you prefer a high strike rate, you may be using dutching, so you may actually be looking at using all horses that are either, you know, the top three in the field, or possibly, you know, the top 30% of the rated runners in the field, or even possibly, you know, all horses that are come into the top 10% of the levels we just discussed, if that makes sense. So
right.
if you're top rated horse, you take the lowest 10% of it, and any other horse who has a rating higher than that,
right, gotcha,
you may include in your Dutch. Okay. Of course, if you prefer to back a single horse, you're going to be choosing a winner. So, I mean, all of that makes it pretty impossible to give a strike rate for the method. Because everyone's going to be using them slightly differently. And they're showing you the horses that you are going to expect to run well in this race and have a potential of winning it.
Okay. So in the example, you don't take the odds into account. Is it possible to use the ratings to create a book to find value bets?
Ah, yeah, I mean, of course, you can certainly use the ratings to create an odds line or a book, but to be honest, I wouldn't recommend it. creating an accurate odds line using a purely mathematical approach is a very difficult thing to do, and you're going to need a very complex model to do it with any degree of accuracy. So rather than trying to do that, I would suggest that a way that you may be able to do it would actually be to introduce the morning line in the Racing Post. So the morning line is the forecast figures in the Racing Post. And you include that into the rating, which will then tweak the contenders slightly and can highlight any potential value that might be there. So we're using the experience of the Racing Post forecasters rather than trying to get into the complexities of creating our own mathematical model within this ratings tool.
Okay. Do you know, personally, I like to ignore the odds until after I know what I'm interested in, because they can just sway you. You know, when they're wrong, they can be wrong, but it can put you off a perfectly good bet just because basically somebody else has a different opinion is all it is.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I agree. I never look at the odds until I've already got my contenders list and I've already decided. And the other thing to always remember as well is that it's a misconception that the Racing Post are, the morning line and the Racing Post are the odds that the Racing Post thinks the horses have for winning.
Right.
They're actually a prediction of how they think punters are going to be betting. Right. And the two are very different. So it's not, the Racing Post aren't saying we think this horse is going to have the highest chance of winning because it's favourite. They think, they're saying we think that everyone else is going to think this horse has the highest chance of winning.
Okay. I've not really thought about it like that, but it's an interesting distinction.
It's just a different way, essentially. They're, it's a different thing. They're not trying to find the winners with those forecast odds.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can use this to find horses to lay, can we? A lot of interest in laying always.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You can. The information is there, and you can use it in any way you want. And to be honest, the more imaginatively you're using it, then the more potential for profits you've got. I mean, the best way to make profits in horse racing is to look at things differently to everyone else. So.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. So, do you rate every race every day, or do you select... You know, do you target types of races or specialise, as it were?
No, I rate every race every day, personally. Right. But I do use a very complex set of figures, and using this ratings method, here I would suggest that you only look at races where the majority of runners have got all the ratings. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's also a bit dependent on how much time you've got each day. But the best way to go ahead with it is to actually specialize. I mean, specialization is the key, especially when you're starting off on professional betting. Choose a set of race conditions or a race type that you kind of is your favorite or you enjoy the most, and then become an expert in those specific races. And focus just on rating those races each day.
Staking. I think whenever we do anything like this, you always get a staking question. But what staking do you use or recommend?
I actually use a combination of stakings, but I would recommend using flat staking or fixed profit staking. Personally, I never risk more than 1% of my bank on a single bet. But you should definitely never go higher than 5% of your bankroll on any bet in any situation. I mean, that would be my recommendation. More than that, you're very unlikely, unless you're kind of winning up 80%, 90% of your bets on single bets, not a Dutch, but on like a single win bet, then I wouldn't be happy with risking more than that.
Yeah. Okay. So Puntology is coming up, the new updated Puntology 2.0.
Indeed.
So can you tell us a bit about it, about what's in it, and what you're going to be teaching?
Yeah, of course. In Puntology, I'm teaching kind of how to go from effectively, if you don't know anything about sports betting, how to go from there all the way to becoming a full-time professional bettor who's making their living from betting. And in the beginning of the course, we get you up and we get people up and running as quickly as possible and making a few bets, because otherwise frustration kind of sets in. You like to be betting, it's nice to be betting, but I want to make sure that people are betting on, you know, on worthwhile bets, so they're making a profit from the get-go. And so once we've explained how we're going to do that, I get into showing how we're going to turn you into a professional gambler. And it starts with the mindset. So we look at the mindset you're going to have and how you can use that and how you can learn it. Because mindset is probably the most important thing a professional bettor needs. And then we go on to looking at how you stake, how you use bankrolls for maximum effect to get the maximum return, how to read form, handicapping races, creating ratings, how to build systems that actually work, and how to know whether they're going to work in the future before you've started placing your money on them. And from there, that's our grounding. So by that point, everyone in Puntology will be making good profits, building systems, and understanding the intricacies of sports betting. And from there, we go on to advanced techniques, kind of advanced form reading techniques, starting to use statistics, automated betting, how we can incorporate live markets into our betting to make our bets even more accurate and increase our profits. And then I actually show you how, if you want, you can take it one stage further and move into the world of database handicapping. So it's designed to take you through everything, step by step, and obviously you got to put in some work to do it, and each lesson builds on what has been taught and the work that's been done in the previous lesson to guide you through the process.
Cool. Sounds like there's so much in it.
Oh, there's a huge amount in it.
There's a catchphrase in my head somewhere, but I've totally forgotten what it is, but it's something like, there's a lot of stuff there.
Okay. There is indeed.
Do you know, I knew we'd run out of time. We've been on the line now for over 20 minutes, and but I think, you know, we've covered a lot of stuff, and I think, it's been worthwhile. So thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you very much.
And, I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, indeed. We'll catch up soon. Thanks a lot, Darren.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye.